Good morning. Thank you, Sam, for the song selection that you've had. Again, Michael mentioned it earlier, but I'd like to wish all the mothers out there happy Mother's Day, the mothers, the grandmothers. I hope that through our classes and through the sermons throughout the time that we don't take very long in between of remembering just how important the ladies are, the influence, and as Michael said, the true mothers, but also motherly figures that play important roles in our lives. I don't know if you've ever, I'm a sucker for slapstick. Laurel and Hardy and the Three Stooges. I love a pie in the face or falling downstairs never gets old to me. Stacy and I will be watching those YouTube compilations where people have filmed just literally disasters. And I'm busting a gut laughing. I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel bad that somebody has hurt themselves or something, but it's hilarious. They're walking along and a little crack in the curb, or they step on something and they're spilling the birthday cake. It's hilarious. It doesn't take much if you're not paying attention to fall, to slip. You can be walking in the house and something that you're not paying attention to is in your path, and you step on it and you lose your balance. If you're not paying attention, if you're not taking heed. I don't know if you've ever been walking along, talking with somebody, and maybe the elevation changes, you step off a curb or something like that. It feels like you're falling off the Grand Canyon because you're not expecting it. It might be that big, but you about take a fall. Well, there's a lot of spiritual applications to that very concept. And our message today is taken from 1 Corinthians. James read this passage for us earlier. Paul is writing to the Christians in Corinth, and he says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Those two verses said, in fact, I'm kind of doing it a disservice today, because each one of those verses is a lesson in and of itself. But we're going to look at this passage that Paul wrote that it applies to us today. Starts off and says, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." The idea of that false sense of security, we're just walking along thinking we're doing fine and we can stumble. Something can be in our path, something we're not paying attention of, a wet spot on the floor, something if we're not paying attention. And Paul says, let he who thinks he stands, take heed. Pay attention. Be aware. And that's half of it, is being aware that we're able to walk. It's the not seeing those things, not paying attention at the distractions in our lives. Plenty of distractions. The sin out there, the people out there that might be distracting to us. And Paul is saying, you think you stand, take heed. I don't want to talk about this very long because it's too depressing to me, but I'm sure we all can think and make a list. If you've been in the church for any length of time, you can think of people that have fallen away. People that you never thought would have. And they did. There might be different reasons for each one, but we need to be aware. And Paul tells us to take heed. In Matthew 7, Jesus addresses this very issue. People that thought they were doing right came to Jesus. And Jesus responds, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" I want to pause right there. Those are all good activities, all good actions that Christians need to be doing. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" They thought they were standing firm, but they were doing something totally different, and they were unaware. And they got a rude awakening here when Jesus told them, "I never knew you." Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." I know sometimes when we're in the midst of a trial, we think we're the only one that's ever faced that, or of a temptation. Have you ever heard somebody say to you, "Oh, you don't know what I'm going through"? Maybe I individually don't. Maybe I've never been through that, but man has. We're not unique. The things we face are common to man. You know, just that small list up there of greed, of hatred, sexual sin, the temptation of saying bad language, gossiping, being divisive, things like that. It's not unique. Other people have faced this. In 1 John, the Apostle John would write, "For all that is in the world," all that is in the world, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And just like Paul wants you to be aware, the Apostle John wants you to be aware, these are the ways that sin attacks us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It hit Jesus. "Oh, but Jesus, you don't understand what I'm going through. You couldn't possibly understand." Jesus, after he was baptized, went into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil, just like we are. In verse 3 of Matthew 4, he was tempted by the lust of the flesh. He'd been fasting, and he had that temptation. "If you're the Son of Man, make these stones become bread." In verse 5 and 6, the pride of life. "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself off this temple, and the angels will save you." You're all that in a bag of chips, Jesus. He didn't yield. And the lust of the eyes, look out there. All these kingdoms can be yours. You can have everything you see, everything your heart desires, if you just follow me. I don't want to hear, Jesus, you don't know what I'm going through. Jesus was tempted. In Hebrews 4, verse 15, it reads, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are." Those three paths of sin, yet without sin. He did not sin. Paul goes on to say, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. There's strength in that. That's a powerful part of a verse right there. That we will not be tempted beyond what we're capable of. We can stand against the devil. In James 1, starting in verse 12, James writes, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away and by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." We have a promise here, a promise that when we endure temptation, we're rewarded with that crown of life. We're all going to be tempted. There's none of us that won't. But not only do we benefit, but when we survive temptation, we have the strength to help others. When people say, "You don't know what I'm going through." Yes, I do. Because I've been there. It gives us credibility. I've come through the other side. This is what I did. What a strength we can be to our brothers and sisters when they are going through something we have. Sometimes it's easy to think, no one understands what I'm going through. That's really easy to fall into. Many of our brothers and sisters do know. And Jesus knows. God knows. Goes on to say, we'll also make the way of escape. We have to be willing to take it. It's there if we're looking. Sin is there. Sin is, and temptation is there if we're looking for that. And the way of escape is there if we're looking. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it may be awkward. You may lose a friend. You may have to cut ties with things. It may be awkward. Sometimes you just have to say no. Say no to those temptations. Say no to those offerings of sin. And we looked at the temptation of Jesus when he was taken out, tempted by the devil. The way he got through it, he responded with Scripture. Every time the devil hit him with this, he responded, "As it is written," and starts spouting Scripture off to the devil. Well, what about this, Jesus? And he responded every time, as it is written. That is why it is so important. People say, I don't like studying the Bible. That's our armor. That's the ammunition we get to fight temptation. So keep your nose in that word and respond to that temptation just like Jesus did, as it is written. Paul would write to Timothy in chapter 6, starting verse 11, he says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." He just doesn't tell him, flee the worldly temptations, but do this instead. You know, if we don't live in a vacuum, we're going to be filled up with something. And he tells us, flee these things and fill up with these things. Goes on to say, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul is telling Timothy, flee those temptations. You as a young man, flee it, don't look back, and go to the godly elements. James hits it right on the head. He says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and the result is he will flee from you. The devil's going to go to the weak ones. He's going to go to the easier prey. You're standing up to him with your sword and your armor. I'll go find somebody else. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. An example of the fleeing from sin, one of the people that really stand out to me was Joseph. Potiphar's wife was tempting him a number of times, sexually. And finally, he just had to exit stage left as fast as he could. Nothing elegant about it, nothing, it was a little awkward, but he withstood the temptation. Says that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. He avoided the temptation. He avoided sin. Now, we're not going to get into the rest of the story. He still suffered because of it. Thrown in prison because of it. But he didn't sin. Sometimes we just have to flee, run, whatever it looks like, whatever, you know, however awkward it may be, we may just have to get out of Dodge, get out of the situation as fast. He ran to get away from her. Paul, in this short passage, has warned us to take heed, because it is possible to fall. This denominational teaching of once saved, always saved, I don't see it in this passage. It's common to man. We're not special. It's these sins are common. He will provide to us. It's in our hands, the way of escape. And we won't be burdened with something we're not capable of. But that way of escape, we have to take it. This next week, your homework, reread some of those verses. And let's all take heed so we don't fall. There's plenty of examples of people that do all the time. Let's not be one of them. If you need to respond to the invitation is always there. If you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, if you need to repent of sin and turn away from that, now's a good time. If you need prayers of the congregation, whatever your need, please come forward while Sam leads us in the invitation song. We'll address your needs. Again, mothers, happy Mother's Day. Let's stand and sing.